Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
193446. Open VoIP on 1088 is streaming live.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system. One other party is in this conference.
Open VoIP to join the conversation. 929-299-1269. That's 929-299-1269.
Still have the double voice. Burgertron, thought that was someone saying
open
hello.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Hello.
Burgertron, oh it changed.
You can get a voice change.
Burgertron, last time I was listening, it was consistently the purple one.
There you go.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269. Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
The Matrix? Whoa. What's right about it? My voice is the voice of the TTS Neo on and on radio.
Dirty Rigatry has joined in on radio from lobby.
Welcome to OpenVoIP.
Stephen Hawking's computer voice checking in.
Welcome to OpenVoIP. The Matrix?
Time to count to 10 in Chinese with Snowdusk. Thank you.
Snowdusk.
Ah, there is no blocking anymore.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
A cacophony. Frog, I want to hear a top song now, with the lack of blocking. Kinda want to call in and read a book. Yes, that was the question is what book? But the question is what book?
The Matrix?
No blocking, so now we can interrupt a long beat like when we play the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Froglume et Ferus.
In the hall of the mountain, cherry.
Froglume et Ferus.
Frogji mat faero dumpsin 201 charakter of 36 words in 3 lines.
Burgertron is reminded of John Madden ordering a pizza by this voice.
Not blocking. I think I am confused.
Darn, it's blocking again. I was hoping that to be a chorus of codes. How are you doing that? With capital D. I don't understand. Top sings Tepir Gensley, and Handike sings the R.I.P. Death Dirge. If you use their voices using D, like this, or am I stupid?
Dilturic Atri.
Yes, that would be good.
Dilturic Atri. Dilturic Atri dumps in 39 characters of 6 words in 1 lines. Froglume et Ferus. Froglume et Ferus.
Frogji mat faero dumpsin 117 charakter of 24 words in 2 lines.
It has to be at least two lines.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
I am extremely confused and don't know how to enter multiple lines.
Froglume et ferus.
Dun 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 dun.
Froglume et ferus.
Frogjim at Fairodumpsin 117 character 24 words in 2 lines.
Oh. It's a commode command. Press enter at the end of each line, and control D to exit on a blank line. And I lack ARPA. Oh, I didn't know not all users could do it. I think we have the same voice now. I like the rhythm of this.
Dilturic Atri. News to me. Breaking news this just in. Get the news over and get to the music. Dilturic Atri. Bertlerig Atri dumps in 102 characters of 20 words in 5 lines. Froglume et ferus.
Dun 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 dun. Do do dum do do de do da do de do.
Froglume et ferus.
Frogjim at Fairodumpsin 117 character 24 words in 2 lines.
Shoot, what's the phone number again? Actually.
Froglume et ferus.
I am a robot. Prepare to meet your fate. Your time is now, human.
Froglume et ferus.
Frogjim at Fairodumpsin 155 character 27 words in 4 lines.
I probably have it in my outgoing calls.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
There are two other parties in this conference.
Oh, I think I'm connected now. Cool.
Deal to Rick at 3.
Wait for that to come back. Oh. Yep, there he is.
Jinko. Dilturik at 3. Berterig at 3 dumps in 177 characters of 34 words in 6 lines.
The city of Ember.
Froglume et Ferus.
I am a robot. Prepare to meet your fate. Your time is now, human.
Froglume et Ferus.
Frogjim at Faero Dumpsin 155 characters 27 words in 4 lines.
Amazing. Dirty Rick.
The maniacal laugh.
It's all good. Alright, let's start with the
pre-book. Yeah, O'Neill has a great laugh
voice. Instructions. When the city of Ember was just built and not yet inhabited, the chief builder and the assistant builder, both of them weary, sat down to speak of the future. They must not leave the city for at least 200 years, said the chief builder, or perhaps 220. Is that long enough? Asked his assistant. It should be. We can't know for sure. And when the time comes, said the assistant, how will they know what to do? We'll provide them with instructions, of course, the chief builder replied. See, this is why editing is nice, because then I could just cut that out. But who will keep the instructions? Who can we trust to keep them safe and secret all that time? The mayor of the city will keep the instructions, said the chief builder. We'll put them in a box with a time block and set to open on the proper date. Make it so I'll stop listening.
Wow, who is reciting this?
That would be me, Burger Tron.
Burger Tron, have you said your doubt, Dino?
Wow.
Burger Tron.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's sit here. And will we tell the mayor what's in the box? The assistant asked.
Very cool.
Nope, just the information. No, just that it's information they won't need and must not see until the box opens of its own accord. So the first mayor will pass the box to the next mayor, and that one to the next, and so on down through the years, all of them keeping it secret. All that time? What else can we do? Asked the chief builder. Nothing about this endeavor is certain. There may be no one left in the city by then, or no safe place for them to come back to. So the first mayor of Ember was given the box and told to guard it carefully and solemnly sworn to secrecy. When she grew old and her time as mayor was up, she explained about the box to her successor, who also kept the secret carefully, as did the next mayor. Things went as planned for many years, but the seventh mayor of Ember was less honorable than the ones who'd come before him, and more desperate. He was ill. He had the coughing sickness that was common in the city then, and he thought that the box might hold a secret that would save his life. He took it from his hiding place in the basement of the gathering hall and brought it home with him, where he attacked it with a hammer. But his strength was falling by then. All he managed to do was dent a little. And before he could return the box to his official hiding place or tell his successor about it, he died. The box ended up at the back of a closet, shoved behind some old bags and bundles. There it sat, unnoticed year after year, until its time arrived, and the lock quietly clicked open. Chapter 1. Assignment Day. In the city of Ember, the sky was always dark. The only light came from the great flood lamps mounted on the buildings and tops of poles in the middle of the larger square.
Roots at SDF has joined in radio from roof.
The lights were on to cast a yellowish glow over the streets, people walking by long shadows that shortened and stretched out again. When the lights were off, as they were between 9 and 6 in the morning, the city was so dark that people might as well have been wearing blindfolds. Sometimes darkness fell in the middle
Welcome,
of the
Mr.
day. The City of Ember was old, and everything in it, including the power lines, was in need of repair. So now and then, the lights would flicker and go out. These were terrible moments for the people of Ember, as they came to a halt in the middle of the street or stood stock still in their houses, afraid to move into utter blackness. They were reminded of something they preferred not to think about, that someday the lights of the city might go out and never come back on. But most of the time, life proceeded as it always had. Grown people did their work, and younger people, until they reached the age of 12, went to school. On the last day of their final year, which was called Assignment Day, they were given jobs to do. The graduating students occupied room 8 of the Ember School. On Assignment Day of the year 241, this class, usually noisy first thing in the morning, was completely silent. All 24 students sat upright and still at the desk they had grown too big for. They were waiting. I think it might help if we actually have a light. There we go. Oh, that's a lot better. We might actually be able to read this now. The desks were arranged in 4 rows of 6, one behind the other. In the last row sat a slender girl named Lena Mayfleet. She was winding a strand of her long, dark hair around her finger, winding and unwinding it again and again. Sometimes she plucked out a thread on her ragged cape or bent over to pull on her socks, which were loose and tended to slide down around her ankles. One of her feet tapped the floor softly. In the second row was a boy named Dune Harrow. He sat with his shoulders hunched, his eyes squeezed shut in concentration, and his hands clasped tightly together. His hair looked crumpled, as if he hadn't combed it for a while. He had dark, thick eyebrows, which made him look serious at the best of times, and when he was anxious or angry,
no wonder I always
listened
that Bobby called a record. I just checked the groove.
His brown
they
corduroy
totally
jacket
the
was
light
so old that
the wrong
ridges
place.
Had flattened out. Both the girl and the boy were making urgent wishes. Doom's wish was very specific. He repeated it over and over again, his lips moving slightly as if he could make it come true. As if he could make it come true by saying it 1,000 times.
Flush.
Lena was making her wish in pictures rather than in words. In her mind's eye, she saw herself running through the streets of the city in a red jacket. She made the picture as bright and real as she could. Lena looked up and gazed around the schoolroom. She said a silent goodbye to everything that had been familiar for so long. Goodbye to the map of the City of Ember and its guard-wooded held the Book of Numbers, the Book of Letters, and the Book of the City of Ember. Goodbye to the cabinet drawers labeled new paper and old paper.
So rude. SMJ.
Goodbye to the free electric lights and ceiling that seemed always, no matter where you sat, to cast the shadow of your head on the page you were writing on. And goodbye to their teacher, Miss Thorne, who had finished her last day of school speech, wishing them luck in the lives they were about to begin. Now having run out of things to say, she was standing at her desk with her frayed shawl clasped around her shoulders. Ugh. I can't keep up with the book. I'm reading it. And the mayor, the guest of honor, had not arrived. Someone's foot scraped back and forth on the floor. Miss Thorne sighed. Then the door rattled open and the mayor walked in. He looked annoyed, as though they were the ones who were late. Welcome, Mayor Cole, said Miss Thorne. She had held out her hand to him. The mayor may his mouth as well. 1269. Greetings. Another year. The mayor was a vast, heavy man, so big in the middle that his arms looked small and dangly. In one hand, he held a little cloth bag. He lumbered to the front of the room and faced the students. His gray, drooping face appeared to be made of something stiffer than ordinary skin. It rarely moved, except for making the smile that was on it now. Young people of the highest class, the mayor began. He stopped and scanned the room for several moments. His eyes seemed to look out from far back inside his head. He nodded slowly. Assignment day now, isn't it? Yes. First we get our education, then we serve our city. Again, his eyes moved back and forth along the rows of students, and again he nodded, as if though someone had confirmed it, what he'd said. He put the little bag on Miss Thorne's desk and rested his hand on it. What will that service be, eh? Perhaps you're wondering. He did his smile again, and his heavy cheeks folded like drapes. Shout out to the mayor. Lena's hands were cold. She wrapped her cape around her and pressed her hands between her knees. Please hurry, Mr. Mayor, she said silently. Please just let us choose and get over with it. Dune, in his mind, was saying the same thing, only he didn't say please. Something to remember, the mayor said, holding up one finger. Job you draw today is for 3 years. Then, evaluation. Are you good at your job? Fine, you may keep it. Are you unsatisfactory? Is there a greater need elsewhere? You'll be reassigned, and it is extremely important, he said, jabbing his finger at the class. For all work of Ember to be done, to be properly done. He picked up the bag and opened the drawstring. So let us begin. Simple procedure. Come up one at a time, reach into this bag, take one slip of paper, read it out loud. He smiled and nodded. The flesh under his chin bulged in and out. Who cares to be first?
I think it's stupid voting at meeting in a proxy no one server.
Lena stared down at the top floor desk. There was a long silence. Then Lizzie Biscoe, one of Lena's best friends, sprang to her feet. I would like to be first, she said in her breathless high voice. Good. Walk forward. Lizzie went to stand before the mayor. Because of her orange hair, she looked like a bright spark next to him. Now choose. The mayor held out the bag with one hand and put the other behind his back, as if to show he would not interfere. Lizzie reached into the bag and withdrew a tightly folded square of paper. She unfolded it carefully. Lena couldn't see the look on Lizzie's face, but she could hear the disappointment in her voice as she read out loud. Supply depot clerk. Very good, said the mayor. A vital job. Lizzie trudged back to her desk. Lena smiled at her, but Lizzie made a sour face. Supply depot clerk wasn't a bad job, but it was a dull one. The supply depot clerk sat behind a long counter, took orders from the storekeepers of Ember, and sent the carriers down to bring up what was wanted from the vast network of storerooms beneath Ember's streets. The storerooms held supplies of every kind, canned food, clothes, furniture, blankets, light bulbs, medicine, pots and pans, reams of paper, soap, more light bulbs, everything the people of Ember could possibly need. The clerk sat at their ledger books all day, recording the orders that came in and goods that went out. Lizzie didn't like to sit still. She would have been better suited to something else, Lena thought. Messenger, maybe. The job Lena wanted for herself. Messengers ran all through the city all day, going everywhere, seeing everything. Next, said the mayor. This time, two people stood up at once, only Gordon and Chet Gnome. Orly Gordon and Chet Gnome. Orly quickly sat down again, and Chet approached the mayor. Choose, young man, the mayor said. Chet chose. He unfolded his scrap of paper. Electrician's helper, he read. His white face broke into a smile. Lena heard someone take a quick breath. She looked over to see Dune pressing a hand against his mouth. We never knew each year exactly which jobs would be offered. Some years there were several good
jobs, timekeeper's
assistant, or messenger, and no bad jobs at all. Other years, jobs like pipeworks laborer, Chandler Trash Sifter and Mold Scraper were mixed in. But there would always be at least one or two jobs for electricity. Fixing the electricity was the most important job in Ember, and more people worked in at it than anything else. Orly Gordon was next. She got the job of building repair assistant, which was a good job for Orly. She was a strong girl and liked hard work. Vindy Chance was made a greenhouse helper. She gave Lena a big grin as she went back to her seat. She'll get to work with Claire, Lena thought. Lucky. So far, no one had picked a really bad job. Perhaps this time there would be no bad jobs at all. The idea gave her courage. Besides, she had reached a point where the suspense was giving her a stomachache. So as Vindy sat down, even before the mayor could say next, she stood up and stepped forward. The little bag was made of a faded green material, gathered at the top of a black string. Lena hesitated a moment, then put her hand inside and fingered the bits of paper. Feeling as if though she were stepping off a high building, she picked one. She unfolded it. The words were written in black ink, a small careful printing. Pipeworks laborer, they said. She stared at them. Out loud, please, the mayor said. Pipeworks laborer, said Lena in choked voice, a choked whisper. Louder, said the mayor. Pipeworks laborer, Lena said again, her voice loud and cracked. There was a sign of sympathy from her class. Keeping her eyes on the floor, Lena went back to her desk and sat down. Pipeworks laborers worked below the storerooms in deep labyrinth of tunnels that contained Ember's water and sewer pipes. They spent their days stopping up leaks and replacing pipe joints. It was wet, cold work. It could even be dangerous. The swift underground river ran through the pipeworks, and every now and then, someone fell into it and was lost. People were lost occasionally in the tunnels, too, if they strayed too far. Lena stared miserably down at a letter B someone had scratched into her desktop a long time ago. Almost anything would have been better than pipeworks labor. Greenhouse helper had been a second choice. She imagined with longing the warm air and earthy smell of the greenhouse, where she could have worked with Clary, the greenhouse manager, someone she'd known all her life. She would have been content as a doctor's assistant, too. Binding up cuts and bones, even street sweeper or carpooler would have been better. At least then she would have could have stayed above ground, with space and people around her. She thought going down into the pipeworks must be like being buried alive. One by one, the other students chose their jobs. None of them got such a wretched job as hers. Finally, the last person rose from his chair and walked forward. It was Doom. His dark eyebrows were drawn together in a frown of concentration. His hands, Lena saw, were clenched into fists at his sides. Doom reached into the bag and took out the last scrap of paper. He paused a minute, pressing it tightly on his hand. Go on, the mayor said. Read. Unfolding the paper, Doom read, Messenger. He scowled, crumpled the paper, and dashed it to the floor. Lena gasped. The whole class rustled in surprise. Why would anyone be angry at Lena to get the job of messenger? Bad behavior, cried the mayor, his eyes bulged and his darkened face darkened. Go to your seat immediately. Doom kicked the crumpled paper into a corner. Then he stalked back to his desk and flung himself down. The mayor took a short breath and blinked furiously. Disgraceful, he said, glaring at Doom. A childish display of temper. Students should be glad to work for their city. Ember will prosper if all citizens do their best. He held up a stern finger as he said this and moved his eyes slowly from one face to the next. Suddenly, Doom spoke up. But Ember is not prospering, he cried. Everything is getting worse and worse. Silence, cried the mayor. The blackouts, cried Doom. He jumped from his seat. The lights go out all the time now. And the shortages of everything. If no one does anything about it, something terrible is going to happen. Lena listened with a pounding heart. What was wrong with Doom? Why was he so upset? He was taking things too seriously, as he always did. This Thorn strode to Dune and put a hand on his shoulder. "Sit down now," she said quietly, but Dune remained standing. The mayor glared. For a few moments, he said nothing. Then he smiled, showing a neat row of gray teeth. "Miss Thorn," he said, "who might this young man be?" "I am Dune Harrow," said Dune. "I will remember you." He gave Dune a long look, then turned to the class and smiled his smile again. "Congratulations to all," he said. "Welcome to Amber's workforce, Miss Thorn. Class, thank you." The mayor shook hands with Miss Thorn and departed. The students gathered their coats and caps and filed out of the classroom. Lena walked down the white hallway with Lizzie and said, "Poor you. I thought I picked the bad one, but you got the worst. I feel lucky compared to you." Once they were out of the door, Lizzie said goodbye and started away. If Lena's bad luck were a disease, she might catch. Lena stood on the steps for a moment and gazed across Harkin Square, where people walked briskly, bundled up cozily in their coats and scarves, or talked to one another in the pools of light beneath the great street lamps. A boy in a red messenger's jacket ran toward the gathering hall on Otterwell Street. A man pulled a cart filled with sacks of potatoes. And in the buildings all around the square, the rows of lighted windows shone bright yellow and deep gold. Lena sighed. This was where she wanted to be. Up here where everything happened, not down underground. Someone tapped her on the shoulder. Startled, she turned and saw Dune behind her. His thin face looked pale. "Will you trade with me?" he said. "Trade? Trade jobs. I don't want to waste my time being a messenger. I want to help save the city, not run around carrying gossip." Lena gasped at him. "You'd rather be in the pipeworks?" "Only Christian's helper is what I wanted," Dune said. "But Jet won't trade, of course. Pipeworks is the second best." "But why?" "Because the generator's in the pipeworks," said Dune. Lena knew about the generator, of course. In some mysterious way, it turned the running of the river into power for the city. You could feel a steep rumble when he stood in Plumber Square. "I need to see the generator," Dune said. I have ideas about it." He thrust his hands into his pockets. "So," he said, "will you trade?" "Yes," cried Lena. "Messenger is the job I want most. And not a useless job at all, in her opinion. People couldn't be expected to trudge halfway across the city every time they want to communicate with someone. Messengers connected everyone to everyone else. Anyway, whether it was important or not, the job of messenger just happened to be perfect for Lena. She loved to run. She could run forever. And she loved exploring every nook and cranny of the city, which is what a messenger's job to do. "All right, then," said Dune.
"This is great."
He handed her his pretty crumpled piece of paper, which he must have retrieved from the fort. Lena reached into her pocket, pulled out her slip of paper, and handed it to him. "Thank you," he said. "You're welcome," said Lena. Happiness sprang up in her, and happiness always made her want to run. She took three steps at a time and sped down Broad Street toward home. All right. I don't want to get interrupted by the end of the hour coming, so I'm going to leave Chapter 2 to tomorrow. Yeah. Hopefully I didn't do a bad job reading. I think I'm all right at this. Then I guess.
I wasn't bad, right? Very enjoyable. Glad to hear. I imagine audio quality could be better.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
If an on radio was more targeted at music, I would probably set up streaming to there.
I think you can do whatever you want on an own radio. That is the point. It's up to you.
On radio.
Thank you for listening to Open VoIP. Now you can be the DJ with SDF Open Mic. Get on the mic, get on the mic, yo, 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 check it. Get on that mic, you are the DJ.